You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Hey, y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Welcome to the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, where we give you that sports talk in layman's terms. We can get raw up in here, so if you like sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. All right, let's get to it. What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by the Black Is Network. We are your co-hosts for this show, the Brothers Layman, Chris.
And Jonathan, coming in via the Skype.
Man, so we got preseason kicked off.
Yes, we did, and my Broncos put up that shutout. Loving it. We starting off where we left off last year, baby. I'm loving it.
Man, I can just tell you, I was headed out to Long Beach to visit my wife. She was out there for a conference, and I'm passing by, riding down Exposition Friday night. All I see, I'm seeing these all the metal barriers, and I see this little big Rams thing on the street. I'm like, oh snap!
Oh boy,
football is here!
Yeah, no, I tweeted out. I'm like, man, it almost feels like a dream.
Man, I want to see it. But of course, where I live, I'm going to see it. It's just like, okay, whenever I see the Rams playing at home, do not go down Exposition or King.
Oh, heck no.
Toward the 110. It's going to take you about a half hour to get from Normandy to the 110.
It's going to take longer than that. Hey, shout out to E. Green, who was complaining about the traffic. Welcome to L.A., sir.
Yeah.
Complaining about how people drive. Welcome. Hey,
people drive aggressively.
Yeah. It's like the South, brother.
Yeah, even in the rain, people drive aggressively.
Even in the rain. People out here drive in the rain like it's snowing.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it gets crazy.
It gets insane.
But, of course, and shout out to everybody who gave me the well wishes on the birthday.
Yeah, whoop.
Yesterday.
Happy belated.
No doubt, getting closer to 40. 39.
Woo.
Woo. Yeah, man. I don't feel like that.
Creeping up the ladder.
Yeah, but you know, you stay as old as you think. I'm still a kid at heart. Love my cartoons and whatnot. My kids keep me young, so it's all good.
Hey, that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm just looking forward to this fantasy football. Hope y'all enjoyed all the breakdown Jonathan gave y'all.
Hey, definitely. I hope y'all appreciated it. I got some love a little bit from the last episodes. But please just keep bringing the feedback. Keep asking questions, because I'm telling you, I got some. I got a noise award for myself, but I'll get into it a little bit later.
All right. Just check it out, y'all. Hope y'all enjoy that show. So we're going to hop into this. You know what? If y'all want to get at us, y'all want to talk some sports, comments, feedback, any of that good old stuff, you can reach out to us via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com, Twitter, @brotherslayman, voicemail 323-455-4219. You can leave us reviews on iTunes and Stitcher, and you can always check us out at the website, blackisonline.com.
Hey, hit us up. Any questions, comments, concerns, anything, and I mean anything that y'all want to talk about, sports wise, don't matter wise, whatever, hit us up and we will definitely get back at you.
Holla! All right. So we got one email today.
All right, I'll take it.
From the homie from Spirit G.
What up, Mr. Spirit G?
One half a hoopla.
Shout out to your brother with that music show. Dig it.
Yeah, man. That show was fun to do.
Absolutely.
What up, gents? Sorry, it's been a while since I hit y'all up via email, but I'm leaving this one while I'm thinking about it. Actually, I'm leaving this while I'm listening to your show. So I hit play and sit back and get ready to listen to the fellas. Oh, I guess since I was at work, I should also throw in here that I was sitting back and doing my work in case someone from my job is listening. Anyway, I was quickly reminded that Football Talk is first on the show now that the season is almost here.
Oh, yes, it is.
So I really got a lot of work done during the first half of the show in case someone from my job is listening. Then we get down to the meat and potatoes of my favorite segment of the show. And right off the bat, y'all go into it about Westbrook and my squad. It was nice to hear because I was telling someone recently how y'all never seem to argue on the show. Or my sister and I argue damn near every episode. For a minute, I wondered if I was listening to Hoopla. But it should come as no surprise that I agree with Chris. Jonathan, I think you're missing what we're saying. We're not saying they are not still a good team, but they're not the same team. You said yourself that as long as the team has a top five player, you'll never underestimate them, which was your argument for why they were still contenders. But that very argument also works against you because you have to remember that they had two top five players when they were contenders. If you feel like you can't count them out because they have a top five player, then how can a team that has two top five players and a team that has one top five player both be the same contender? There are no levels of contenders. Either you are or you aren't. So basically what you're saying is that taking away a player of KD's caliber does not really affect the team, at least not enough to have them fall out of contention.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Or that a combination like Ilyasova and Oladipo can make up for the loss of a top five player in the league. To both of those, I say, stop it. All we're saying is you can't underestimate what taking a player like KD off that team does. You have to at least acknowledge that taking a top five player off of any team, regardless of how many top five players are left on said team, weakens them. In 2015, when LeBron went back to Cleveland, I didn't hear you say Miami was still a contender. I heard you say that everyone was crowning Cleveland like they are in Golden State now, but I never heard you say Miami is still a contender.
When LeBron went back to Cleveland?
When LeBron went back to Cleveland, did you?
Because they didn't have two top five players. They didn't have a top five player anymore. Chris Bosh and D-Wade aren't top five. Mm. They're just not.
All right. It was nice to hear Chris get frustrated. I literally LOL when JL said he thought OKC can still beat the Spurs. And CL was like, oh, come on, LOL. I laughed kind of loud while I was doing my work in case someone from my job is listening. Now that we've locked up Russ a little longer, I think if we get another superstar, and it doesn't have to be a top five player, we'll be contenders again. Yeah, it depends on who that player is.
Yes.
But if you just add them without really losing anything, I would say that. Now on to my very important question. Jonathan, with your keeping hope alive about Anthony Bennett and he might get his shit together rhetoric, would you want Anthony Bennett right now on your beloved Bulls squad? Don't worry, I'll wait, LOL.
Shout out to Spirit, and I emailed him a response to that exact question because he asked it on Hoopla, and I made sure to send him my answer.
Okay. In regards to KD not leaving his house, guys, you got to remember this is the same dude who was too much of a bitch ass to fight with his boys, including another top five player in the league, so he joined the enemy. Of course he's going to be too scared to leave the house. If he wasn't scared, he'd have stayed with the Thunder. He was too afraid of the possibility of him not winning a ring if he didn't join a team already set a record for wins without him. I'm surprised his old scary ass only stayed in the house 2 days. And speaking of which, what the fuck was 2 days supposed to do? I'm reminded of that lyric that Eminem song, Criminal, where he talks about committing robbery, and if anyone identifies him, he'll hide for 5 minutes. I don't know why you're hiding for 2 days, KD. You're going to get it all season, bruh. And ooh, I can't wait till February when Golden State heads to OKC. He better fake a leg cramp or say he's on his period or something, because he won't be able to handle the hostility they're going to throw at him. You think they made that game that late in the season on purpose? I thought it should have been on Christmas. Who said the final rematch always had to happen on Christmas? I guess Adam Silver. anyway, I was hoping for that too, but it's hard to pass up putting them two teams on Christmas. That's hard. That's hard to pass up. Anyway, great show as always, guys. I don't know what the hell y'all were talking about with the football stuff, but it sounded like if I had a clue, it would have been awesome content. And thanks for giving me an opportunity to catch up on my work for the first half of the show. You know, in case someone from, never mind. Peace, my brother. Spirit G, one half of Hoopla on a GSPN and expert sandwich maker and part-time motivational speaker to the deaf.
Appreciate that, Spirit.
Shout out, man. Hey, I will say about with Anthony Bennett, I hit him up because I think I did the same thing. I was like, do we take his draft into consideration? Or are we strictly going by where you were picked and your performance? Because I got to put his class in there a little bit.
Because his class was ass.
Right. But I will say that he top three.
He's up there. Top three. Spirit, would I have him on my bench? Yes, at the end of it. But he'd be on that bench. I give him a chance. I'm one of those dudes because he's young enough. I think he's only like 23, 24 years old.
He was picked before your new teammate.
He's 24.
Yeah, if your new teammate is young, then he young. He's in the same draft.
Just like I think he's been hurt and he's never really been given an opportunity. If he can't crack the rotation with Brooklyn, Spirit, I will concede. I will give you that. If he can't even crack the rotation with the Brooklyn Nets, who are going to be a lottery team, who got nothing but young dudes and a lot of no names, then yes, I will concede he garbage. And I don't want him on my team anymore. Because I'm like, if he can't crack this team, Jeremy Lin is starting that point guard. I don't know who the two guard is. They traded Thaddeus Young, so I don't know. I think they got Ronald Hollis Jefferson starting at three. I don't know who their four is, and they got Brooke Lopez. Anthony Bennett should be able to crack at least the bench rotation. If he can't do that on this Brooklyn team, I will concede he the worst. Because at least Kwame Brown carved out like a role player role. Like, if Anthony Bennett can't even do that on a Nets team, on the Brooklyn Nets, then I have no hope for this kid anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not going to be good.
At all. But, I mean, who knows? If the kid, Spirit, if the kid ends up starting for Brooklyn and balls, what you going to say then? Second. I'm just saying. Yeah. If he actually gets a run, you start putting up numbers. What you going to say, Spirit?
Yeah, he might have crawled out that spot. Like, I'm not saying, the worst.
Just saying. And then when it comes to OKC, look, I get the impact of losing a player like KD. I do. I truly do understand it, and I get that. But what I was saying is, like, look, sometimes there is addition. There are circumstances where it is addition by subtraction. You have a dude who's chucking up, you know, basically between the two of them, they were taking, what, 40-plus shots a game? Between the two of them. Now you're divvying. I mean, you know, Westbrook's still going to get his 20 shots, but now you're divvying up those other 20 shots between other guys, getting them more involved. And again, it's like I said last year, a lot of the times, you know, when guys aren't involved as much, they get a little lazy, you know, when they're not involved on the offensive end, they're not putting in the effort necessarily on defense. You know, now he's, you know, again, those 20 shots are going to be dispersed through some of these other players, Oladipo, Ilyasova, Steven Adams is going to get a little bit more shine and stuff like that. So I think they still can be contenders, personally. That's just my opinion. I might be the only one in America who thinks that, but that is just my opinion.
No, I'm talking about OKC's fame if you're that way. I'm just like, Kevin Durant ain't no, well, there's addition by subtraction. That is a huge subtraction.
And I get it. And I just said there are certain circumstances. This right. could possibly be one. I didn't say it is definitively, but possibly.
Okay.
Possibly.
Okay. I'll put it this way. They are still a playoff contender, not championship. And the fact that they fell behind the Clippers, even though I had the Clippers as a championship contender and have, but you fell behind the Clippers. Yeah, that
I'd be damned if you paused when I said, are they worse than Utah? No, they are not.
Yeah, we got into that. I want to see. Utah needs to make a jump.
Utah needs to make a jump, but at least OKC has a lot of players who are at least proven and who have been there.
Yeah,
well, Utah got nobody who's been there.
Who do they add now?
They didn't make the playoffs last year, did they?
Nah.
That's exactly. Because
of all the injuries. If they get, you know, healthy, well, now what you got? You got George Hill, who been there.
You got George Hill.
You got Boris Diaw.
You got Boris Diaw.
And you got Joe Johnson. They got vets. You know, Dante Exum healthy. Next year, there should be no damn reason. They better make it next year, or Gordon Hayward out.
Yeah, come to Chicago, baby. Come on down.
Oh, man. But, yeah, thank y'all. Thank you, Spirit, man. Make sure you guys are checking out our homie Spirit G at the G-Spot Podcast Network.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I just did a last show of Versus with him. We talking Roots.
Mm.
And our lists are, like, totally different, but it's covered a lot of great music, man.
And make sure y'all check out the one, too, with BTG, where they covered the 90s.
Oh, my God.
Took me back. Took me way back.
Yeah, they did.
And then I'm waiting my turn.
And, of course, our favorite show, Hoopla.
Absolutely. Storm won't be back for, like, 2 days.
While you can.
Yep, so grab her while you can, folks, because it's going to be quick. Nah, shout out to y'all, man. Y'all do great things. Yeah, for sure. Great things.
All right, y'all, we're going to get into this football now.
Yes, sir.
As you know, it's coming up. Yeah, we're going to start looking at these divisions. See, you know, what's going to change, if anything. Today, we're going to start with the divisions over in the East.
If the East is the least.
So, man, have an argument. We're going to start over in the AFC. And as of last year, you had, as usual, the New England Patriots, winners of the division, 12-4, 7-1 at home. Jeez, 4-2 in the division. After that, New York Jets, very close to making the playoffs, didn't make it, 10-6.
Yep, it was that last game. They couldn't pull it up.
Yep. Then you had 8-8 Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're hoping, maybe you thought they was going to do something. Maybe this year will be the year, but, you know, 8-8, just okay. At the bottom, 6-10, Miami Dolphins. Continuing 1-5 in the division. Lord have mercy. Oof.
No bueno.
Nah, not at all. So why don't we start from worst to first based on that. So let's start looking at the Dolphins this year.
All right.
You know, looking at them now, got Laremy Tunsil, an offensive tackle from Ole Miss. End up losing Lamar Miller, though. I know that hurt a lot.
Yeah, that's going to sting. But they did add Arian Foster
to lighten
the blow a little bit. Laremy Tunsil is from what I've been reading, he's gonna be starting at guard. So he ain't starting off at tackle right now, but he's gonna be starting at guard. They need help up front, so anything the kid can give them will be good. I mean, the big move for them really is the hiring of Adam Gase as the new head coach. You know, switching it up from Joe Philbin and Dan Campbell. Taking over in the interim, but I like Adam Gase. You know, he did probably because he did some great things when he was with the Broncos, but, you know, he did some pretty good work with Chicago. Jay Cutler had one of his best years under him last year. I like him. You know, I like Adam Gase. He's young. He's the youngest coach in the league. So it's going to be a challenge for him, but I think he's going to do some good things with that team. I got them finishing third. In the division.
Ooh, can't wait to hear that. Yeah, you know, you got Tannehill. Hopefully, maybe we keep waiting for him to show that he's more than average.
If he can't turn it on with Adam Gase, he can't turn it on. Because Adam Gase has made every quarterback look good. Yeah. I don't know if because I'm like, if he worked wonders for Jay Cutler, damn it. If Ryan Tannehill can't get it right, then he just ain't the guy there.
Yeah, he's got to. I mean, Aaron Foster, you know, he's banged up, of course, but that's, you know, some running back hell with a, what's his name? How you pronounce the running back? Jay?
Jay, Ajayi.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, and Daniel Thomas all the way down there. He's still in the mix.
Yeah.
Yeah. Skill positions. You got Rishard Matthews taking the spot now that Mike Wallace gone.
Mm-hmm.
Jarvis Landry's there. He hadn't had a nice season.
Jarvis Landry had a nice year. Mm-hmm. You still got Devontae Parker who needs to step up.
Yeah, no, he got banged up a little bit recently.
Yeah, he was injured last year.
Kenny Stills.
Yeah, Kenny Stills is okay. I mean, he's probably going to be the fourth guy on the totem pole.
Yeah,
and the big guy who's going to have to step up is their tight end,
Jordan Cameron.
Yep, yeah, he's going to have a pretty good season this year. And again, I mean, people are going to look back to what Adam Gase was able to do with Julius Thomas, what he was able to do with Zach Miller last year in Chicago. So, I mean, he's worked well with tight ends as well. So expectations are going to be up there for Jordan Cameron to have a good season as well.
Yeah, they're going to have to make sure they step things up because their defense, you know, giving all that money to Ndamukong Suh, and they just didn't bring it like they could.
Yep.
So hopefully
this is why I was not a fan of giving him all that money.
Nah, hopefully that does change. It was rough.
It was. I mean, and then you got who's my boy, defensive end, Cameron Wake. He's coming back from an injury, so we don't know. So their pass rush is a little, you know, we don't know what it's going to be. They lost Olivier Vernon to free agency. So, I mean, they've lost some depth. But I think, you know, I think defensively they can do some things. They added Kiko Alonso to the linebacker court. They added Byron Maxwell. I know they both had down years in Philly, but, you know, maybe a change of scenery, help these guys out. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, maybe South Beach can do some wonders.
Yep.
And then looking at their schedule coming up, good morning, week one at Seattle. Like, ooh, Lord.
Lord.
And then week two at New England. Okay, well, 0-2. Like, damn.
I'll give them a chance at New England only because Tom Brady ain't playing.
Yeah, that's true. And then versus Cleveland, at Cincinnati, versus Tennessee. Ooh, they got to play the AFC North. Oof. We got Pittsburgh week six. Bye week eight. Come out to bye week versus the Jets. San Diego. Yeah. And then week 14 versus Arizona. And, of course, you know, I got to give it to them. They know how to schedule them at the back end. Week 15 at Jets, 16 at Buffalo. Week 17 at home versus New England. Man, thanks.
Why that's not even that fair.
At both ends.
Yep.
Week 17. Damn.
Hey, that's what's up. Hey, just in case they ain't playoff contention.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. All right, moving on. Rex Ryan's Buffalo Bills. They can't catch a damn break.
Between injuries and suspensions, I don't know.
Yeah, it just happened today. Bills, their defensive tackle, Marcell Dareus, is getting a 4-game suspension for violating the league's substance abuse policy.
And he is not appealing it.
Nah, he's just like, F it.
Yeah. I got caught, basically. He's thrown in the red flag. I got caught.
Yeah, and I heard somewhere, I guess he had been busted last year or something.
But he was suspended a game last year for synthetic marijuana.
I was hearing a comment today, like, basically, once you get on the list, then it's random tests whenever the hell.
Yep. And then I think last year he signed like that $100-something million contract.
Yeah.
So, whew, that's why I was like, it was between him and Von Miller. Broncos got it right.
No, they did. But I mean, hopefully we get to see more of Tyrod Taylor taking the next step this season.
I told y'all. I was on that train last year. I like Tyrod Taylor. I'm happy for the man that he got his extension. There's no way in hell they're going to pick up his option for next year, though. so he needs to ball out this season. I think his option for next season is like 20-something million. There is no way they picking that up.
Nah, they're
pretty much like a one-year deal. They waiting to see. They at least wanted to do something to give the man some type of potential security. But, you know, hopefully he balls out again this year. He can hit the market next year and cash in.
Mm-hmm.
But for him to ball, man, he's going to need cats to be healthy. LeSean McCoy and Sammy Watkins both going to have to stay healthy.
Man, Sammy Watkins, man, he is fantasy frustration.
Yeah.
Once he gets healthy, you're like, oh, my God, dude, you're putting up numbers. And then, oh, I'm hurt again. Like, he could stay on the field.
These little nicks and bruises just get on your nerves sometimes. Same with LeSean McCoy. Sometimes you're just like, oh, come on. Just stay on the field.
You feel like, has he been healthy since he been in Buffalo?
I think so.
It don't feel like it whatsoever.
Doesn't seem like it, yeah.
And then they got Reggie
Bush.
But
he's still dynamic.
He is. Yeah, Reggie Bush there. He banged up.
Yeah, and then they lost going to their defense. You lost Ike and Polly. He's on injured reserve.
Oh, yeah, my
the
man.
First round pick, Shaq Lawson. He out. I mean, it's just they dealing with a bunch of injuries. And then you got the running back, Carlos Williams. He gets suspended for the first four games. They're not looking good right now. Hopefully, knock on wood, nobody else continues to get healthy because their linebacking core has been ravaged. They lost their second-round pick, Reggie Ragland. He out for the year with a torn ACL. Like, their team has just been hit with injuries.
Yeah, man. It's,
so,
it's it rough, man. Good. No, you hate to see that. Like, at least get to, like, week eight. But it's the frustrating part. I mean, it don't even matter. Like, the league is like, we ain't putting nobody in pads for nothing. And it's like, oh, you still get hurt.
Yep. After the first freaking preseason game, it's like, God.
Then they're going to be like, nobody going to play preseason.
Nope.
Then it's going to be like, only walk-ons, y'all playing the whole game. Like, damn.
Yep.
Because it's scary. And what you don't want, because I'm waiting to see guys like, we didn't play him at all in any preseason. And then week one, oh, he's hurt.
Yep.
Like, you should have played him. Like,
yeah, you got to take that risk.
Yeah, you just got to get the reps.
Yep.
Get them. I mean, it's an injury sport.
Pretty much.
It don't matter. But, yeah, looking at their schedule, starting off week one at Baltimore, play the Jets week two, Arizona week three, at New England week four. Then over to our state at the Rams, out here at Los Angeles. I got to get used to seeing that. At Los Angeles, that's what's up. play again versus New England week 8. At Seattle week 9. And today bye for week 10. Ooh, hopefully they get to the bye all right. They're going to need that rest.
Yeah, and I got to make an adjustment to last episode, folks. Buffalo's defense is no longer a sleeper in fantasy leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Just let that be known.
Yeah. People, they felt like it, but not with all these injuries. Shoot.
No, sir.
And then at Cincinnati week 11. Pittsburgh week 14. And then they ended versus Cleveland versus Miami at the Jets, so... It's not bad down the stretch.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Not too bad.
They just got to be able to hold up injury-wise.
Yeah, that's going to be the main concern.
Yep.
I'm not sure.
Exactly. I don't know.
All right, and moving on to the New York Jets.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Fitzpatrick back. Thank Lord have mercy. Brandon Marshall happy, like, dude, that's what I'm talking about.
Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker, like, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now, even new running back Matt Forte.
Yep. He's like, thank you.
Yeah, I got to get used to seeing him in green.
Oh, so weird.
In that navy blue so long.
Yep.
Yeah, I know Geno Smith's kind of sad about it, but, bro, you had your chance.
Oh, yeah, you had an opportunity.
You've been had opportunities.
Yeah, you you ain't capitalized, so you crying over spilled milk, brother.
Yeah. But yeah, we waiting to see this offense really take some flight.
Well, I think they'll do better in their second year under Chan Gailey. We would wreck with Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback, who again, he knows his offense like the back of his hand. So I just think with Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker having an extra year in the system, not having to really think about things as much, just kind of just out there playing, I think they can put up even better numbers than they did last year.
Yeah, I hope so. Now, defensively, you got Wilkerson got signed.
Yep, that was big.
Mm-hmm. That was big. Looking at who they got, Sheldon Richardson.
Yep, still got Sheldon Richardson. You got Lewis Williams.
Mm-hmm.
From last year's first round pick. So they got some talent up front. They got speed in the linebacking core, which is good.
Yeah. And they brought back he wasn't back last year, was he? Revis Island?
Yeah.
He was back last year?
Yeah. Oh,
okay. I'm totally forgot.
He's a year older, so
yeah.
He ain't the old Darrell Revis we used to seeing. He got burnt up by DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I'll say he let Brandon Marshall know you can't be talking mess and smack the shit out of him. Like, okay.
I mean he's still Darrell Revis, man. He's still one of the better corners in the league. Don't get it twisted.
No, they are, yeah. I mean this division looked like it should be more competitive. We keep saying that every year.
Like,
and the Jets were at least like, oh, okay, they trying.
Mm-hmm.
For them, for their schedule, you got they come out versus Cincinnati, at Buffalo, at Kansas City, versus Seattle, ooh, versus Seattle, at Pittsburgh, at Arizona, ooh, then versus Baltimore, they got a bye week 11, ugh, then they got play New England week 12 and week 16.
Damn.
That's rough. And then
they got it rough.
Monday night, week 13, versus Andrew Luck and them Colts.
That's a rough schedule.
It's a little test of hard when you come out playing well.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Exactly. You were good last year. Now let's make that shit extra hard.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure when we go to this next team, it's going to be like, oh, this shit easy.
Right. Got the easiest schedule in the league.
And, of course, the, 13-time straight division winner, it feel like.
The San Antonio Spurs of the NFL.
Yeah. I don't like being compared to the Patriots. But, I mean, this is
them. I mean, in the winning sense, I guess.
Of course, you know, these New England Patriots.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Because we know that's already what we're going
to do. Yep.
So, yeah, of course, the big news, Deflategate is finally over.
Thank God. Tom Brady out for 4 games. Good.
He said he'll do it. All right. 4 games, you got Jimmy Garoppolo, who the women going to be fiending over watching him. You get his ass lit up.
Jimmy G.
Yep.
Can't wait to hear the chance, boy.
But you know it's going to be like, I mean, Bill Belichick, the master game planner, man, got new weapon, this new two tight end set, best they've had since Gronk and killer Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, killer.
Yeah, they were just the best tight end lineup they ever had. I'm like, Aaron Hernandez was good as hell before all his shit.
Yeah, I mean, the nigga's a murderer, but he was a good-ass football player.
Yeah, I was like, I ain't ready to go him and Martellus going to kill. But that's a nice tight end.
That's set, a man. Nice tandem.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Don't forget, you still got Edelman.
Yeah, I got Edelman still coming back.
Still got Amendola.
Yeah, Keyshawn Martin. Yeah, Amendola. Hopefully he played better. I know Julian Edelman coming off an injury. You still got LeGarrette Blount. Deion Lewis.
And he's coming off an injury, too.
Yeah.
But he was money last year for them. They missed him really down the stretch.
No, they did. They did. Because
he was gold in fantasy football last year, boy, I tell you.
Mm-hmm. And they still got all, you know, some of their still players, Patrick Chung, Malcolm Butler, Jamie Collins.
I mean, you still got some of the same old guys, but mm-hmm. I mean, they lost Chandler Jones, so
yep. That
pass rush is a little lighter.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how they do on that end. But I mean, you know, they're still the Patriots. I mean, Bill Belichick's still a damn good defensive coach, so.
No, he gets it done.
I expect them to still be stout.
Yeah, definitely. Their schedule, week one at Arizona.
Mm.
Holla at you. Yeah. That's the Sunday night game.
Mm. Ooh, even better.
Yep. Come on, Arizona. Come out the gate. Then they got versus Miami, Houston, Buffalo, Cleveland, Cincinnati, at Pittsburgh, at Buffalo. Okay, week nine bye. Come out to bye versus Seattle. Eesh. So, yeah, I would say, you know, week one, they can go 3-1. I mean, after, you know, before Tom Brady comes back. And then he come back at Cleveland. Okay, well.
Of course. You see?
Warm them up.
Exactly.
Of course, week 15 at Denver.
Of course. Even better. Good. I'm glad it's at Denver. He sucks at Denver.
Yep. In December, it's going to be cold.
We saw what happened last year with Brock Osweiler. We're going to have a repeat.
Man, I know you're hoping so.
That's so. I'm ready.
What you think how it's going to play out?
Well, I think New England clearly is still the team to beat in the division. I think they're going to finish first. I think Jets are going to finish second. I think they're going to improve on what they did offensively last year. I think defensively they can show a little bit better under Todd Bowles' second year. So I think they'll be second in the division. I got Miami finishing third. I like what Adam Gase brings to the table. I think he can do some things with Ryan Tannehill to help him out. I think Aaron Foster is going to play better than most people expect. So we'll see how that happens on that end. And I think their defense might actually play a little bit better than most people expected to as well. I got Buffalo finishing last just because of all the injuries and everything they've had to deal with. I just think there's so many distractions. You can't really bank on Sammy Watkins staying healthy a full season, LeSean McCoy staying healthy a full season. Even Tyrod Taylor, we don't know because he was banged up last year too. So they've got a lot of guys who have shown that they can be potentially injury prone. So that is why I got Buffalo finishing last. So that is my division picks.
Mm. Yeah, I'm thinking mine probably similar. I do think New England, once again, 12 wins sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect 13 or 14. I think 12 is a good number.
Yeah.
The Jets, depending on how they play, I think they should make a real push against New England. I mean, Brady's out four games. You better try to take advantage while you can.
Yeah.
And they should be hungry, especially Fitzpatrick. This may be it for him there. I don't know if they want to do this song and dance again. Third, I almost feel like, it's, you know, Buffalo, Miami going to tie at 8-8. I think Miami should be better than 6-10. And Buffalo, yeah, with all the injuries, if they were coming in healthy, I'd probably have them maybe trying to push, get to 10 wins. But, you know, I could see 8. I could see them flipping and doing 6-10, same way
yep.
now. So, yeah, I'm going to go. I give Buffalo the edge, but I think they're going to be fighting for third, Miami and Buffalo. And just not in the mix again. And we'll hear Rex Ryan talk a lot of trash and usual.
And get fired.
Yeah. I mean, they were competitive, so hopefully, like, please somebody push these damn Patriots.
Yeah, that's I think the Jets can do it this year, but that's it.
Yeah, but they're going to have to really step their defense up.
Yeah.
In order to make it happen.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to the NFC East.
Everybody's the NFC least.
Oh man, we got so many fellow podcasters that be pulling for this division.
Yeah, they do.
Oh man. So starting off, winning the division, the In Deep Shows, Washington Redskins. What up, Big B?
You like that?
Doc.
You like that?
9-7. Kirk Cousins did his thing.
Did the damn thing. You right about thing. That. He did the damn
thing. I give him that. 9-7, and then it just falls after that. 7-9. Philadelphia Eagles. So long, Chip Kelly.
Get the what did fuck I say? On out. What did I tell you? What did I tell you? Riley Cooper had to go.
Yep. He did.
Told you.
After that, 6-10, New York Giants. I mean, they were just injured like a mug.
Yeah.
It just. Oof.
A long time Coughlin.
And then you got Jerry Jones, Dallas Cowboys, who flipped records from the year prior and went 4-12.
Oh, won a game after Tony Romo went down.
Yes.
Their backup quarterbacks were awful.
Awful.
Jesus. Awful. The worst backup quarterback situation going on in the league. It was pathetic.
Because who was they had? Who was that backup?
They had freaking.
Dude, they traded with the Vikings.
Well, they had Brandon Whedon.
Oh, yeah.
And he was ass.
And they were supposed to trade for somebody, and they didn't. Or the fans wanted them to trade. I forgot who that was.
I forgot who they were trying to get. And then they had Kellen Moore. And he was whack. Their situation, it was just a bad situation overall. I mean, and Dez Bryant got hurt. There, once Tony Romo and Dez went down, that was it.
Yeah, he was like, well, there it goes.
But that was it.
Disposal coming back healthy. You know, added the number 4 pick, Ezekiel Elliott. Shore up that running situation.
I mean, I will give them this. They still do got probably arguably the best offensive line in football.
Oh, yeah. I would think so. Mm-hmm. Them boys young and know how to do it.
They do.
You know, of course, you got who's your boy? That's at the backup that everybody raving about, like he the next great thing.
Look, man, I like Dak Prescott. I thought he played well. Yes, he played very well in the first preseason game. But, dude, it's fucking preseason game. Against the Rams, for God's sakes. Y'all acting like he balled out against the damn Patriots or something. Like, he played a one preseason game against the Rams, and we acting like he the second coming of whatever. He the best quarterback in the league. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm sitting here looking at Twitter, and people were just going crazy. Oh, Tony Romo better watch out for his job. I'm like, are y'all seriously? That's the only thing about sometimes in preseason. People just really get overhyped about certain things.
Like, oh, put him in. Let him start. Like, okay. Like,
yeah, let him start. And then watch your team suck.
And then 3 games in, he ain't do shit. He's whack. Why the hell they even start him? Like, because you said?
It's funny, but I think Dak Prescott has shown that he's better than what they had at the backup quarterback position last year. Mm-hmm. So I think in the case if and when Tony Romo goes down, then you're not as nervous about, you know, him taking over the position. but you're still nervous nonetheless because he's a freaking rookie.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, look, Tony Romo's getting up there. He's about 34. He up in age. So, yes, you want to make sure you guys have gotten, you know, your next quarterback in waiting.
Ideally, they would get, like, Josh McCown as their backup. Ideally.
Yeah. They seem hesitant on that, but.
I'd make that move so quick.
Yeah. I mean, the rookie, like, if he beats him out, then he beat him out.
But I ain't banking on it.
Yeah, you got, you know, they running back situation. Added Alfre Morse. You still got Darren McFadden injury prone. So running game definitely should be a lot better.
Yes.
Than where they had it. Of course,
I mean, it wasn't horrible last year.
No, it wasn't. It was just, you know, throwing guys around there.
Yeah. Like, but defensively, they're going to be horrible.
Oh, my God.
They're going to be so bad defensively. I think they're going to be on New Orleans defense. Oof. At least the past couple of years. I mean, I think they're going to be that bad. Oof. I mean, look, first of all, let's just start with the defensive line. They don't have any defensive ends. They have like one left, hopefully. It's like, God damn, they are so thin on the defensive line. At the linebacking spot, yeah, Rolando McClain didn't even show up. He's overweight due to freaking syrup.
Whatever, he gone.
Sean Lee, God forbid, he gets hurt again.
Yeah.
At the linebacker spot. I mean, you know, they drafted Jalen Smith, but he ain't playing this year at that linebacker. So, I mean, they're so thin at so many of these spots at defense. And then their defensive backfield, which is probably looking like the strength of their defense, isn't all that great. I mean, you got Brandon Carr, who's underachieved since he's been in Dallas. I mean, the one dude you got, what is his name? It's a rookie they had last year out of UConn, Byron Jones. I think they're going to play him at corner or safety this year. I'm not sure which one, but he is their best defensive back. You got Orlando Scandrick coming back from a torn ACL from last year. So, again, there's a lot of question marks in that defense. And if again, God forbid, something happened to Tony Romo, their season going down the toilet again.
Yeah, they got to stay healthy. Everybody.
They have to. You know, everybody.
Jason, yeah, Jason Wooden keeps pushing it. I don't know how much longer he got. He keeps coming through. It's going to be tough. All right. They schedule right out the gate. The Giants, let's just get all this ugliness and hate going.
Sir, I'm loving that. Okay.
All right. And then that at Washington week two versus Bears and at Frisco. All right, week five, get a real test versus Cincinnati, then at Green Bay before going into the bye week, week seven. So, okay, you know, you may be able to into the bye with a little confidence.
Go 4-2, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
And then you come back versus Philly, at Cleveland, at Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Washington, at Minnesota. I mean, they schedule ain't that terrible.
It's not that bad, actually.
You got versus Detroit week 16, Tampa week 15. I mean, you got – then you end at Philly.
There's winnable games there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Quite I mean, this schedule
– it is set up for them to have a good season.
Yeah, I mean, their hardest team right now is Green Bay week 6. You know, and in Pittsburgh, I mean, you got like a sprinkle, but you should be piling up about a good 3-4, you know, wins, you know, and it may take a L, but I mean, they should be a lot better. Mm-hmm. Maybe the schedule, this is like a bounce back into the playoffs kind of schedule.
Yes, it is.
So we'll see. So ooh, that's see. First game going to be exciting.
Yes, it
Let
is.
The hate begin.
At home. Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be nice. And then we're moving on to, oh, yeah, them New York Giants.
Yeah, we got Ben McAdoo as head coach now.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Promoted from offensive coordinator to head coach, so at least they got some continuity going.
Yeah.
It's
going to be weird not seeing him, what's him on the sideline.
Tom Coughlin?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been there a long time. I mean, I can't understand this team sometimes. Just because offensively you're like, damn, they should be better than what they have been.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it seems though like sometimes when they just have these down-ass years, they come bounce back with a good season. So I'm looking for them to have a much better year this year. You know, Eli, same offense, still throwing to Odell Beckham. I think they're going to use Rashad Jennings a little bit more as the focus now. They were using like 3, 4, 5 running backs last year.
They were trying so hard.
Yeah,
Shane Vereen, all that. So
I think they're going to stick with Rashad Jennings. I think Shane Vereen will come in on third downs.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to our cousin's cousin, Sterling Shepard, who's going to be starting opposite Odell Beckham. Figure he's going to see a lot of targets since ODB is going to be double team, triple team sometimes, I'm sure.
Yeah, because Victor Cruz is done.
Victor Cruz is done. I don't care what anybody says. I don't wish him, like, you know, any ill will, or I don't wish him to get hurt again or anything like that. But, man, it's like every little blip I read about Victor Cruz, it's like he has some setback or he got nicked up again. It's like, dude, just his body ain't letting him come back.
Yeah, it sucks because you were just like, ooh, Odell Beckham, Victor Cruz, that's about to be nasty. And it never materialized.
Nope. So, I mean, anything they get from Victor Cruz is a bonus at this point.
Yeah.
Tight end-wise, they ain't had, like, a legit tight end since Jeremy Shockey. So, I have no idea who's going to be starting at tight end. Don't know.
Donnell again.
I guess.
But he was just okay.
The offensive line's all right. Should be better second year under the same offense. Defensively is where they're going to have to step it up, though, because they were bad.
Yeah, they were. This whole division felt like they was just bad on defense.
Yeah. They spent a lot of money this offseason into that defense. They added Olivier Vernon. You added Harrison from the Jets. They added
Jenkins.
Janoris Jenkins. The team up with Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie.
Yeah.
I think they signed Leon Hall from the Cincinnati Bengals to be their slot guy. So, I mean, they're trying to upgrade, do what they can. Linebacking core is still in shambles and has been for quite some time. but, again, with the additions they made this offseason, they should be a little bit better on defense, and they should be poised to have a bounce-back season based on their schedule.
Yeah, they should.
We'll see.
Let's see. So, yeah, they start off playing at Dallas. New Orleans versus Washington, Minnesota. Play Green Bay week 5. Ravens and the Rams. Their bye week is week 8. And Philly, Cincinnati, Chicago, Cleveland, Pittsburgh week 13. And then you got Detroit at Philly at Washington to close it out. Yep. Man, this is the NFC. Y'all about to have a nice run. It may be competitive.
Right. Actually, might be because, man, another schedule that's set up for them to have a bounce back year. So hopefully that can capitalize.
Yeah, hopefully so, man. And then moving on, the Philadelphia Eagles. They made some damage and kept changing. Now they was like, F Chip Kelly, get on out of here.
You got to get the fuck out of here. They got rid of Riley Cooper, who, as you can see, nobody has picked up. for reasons we all know.
Nobody got his butt.
Because he's a freaking blocker. That's it. He was the worst starting wide receiver in the NFL for like the past 2-3 years. Okay. And it wasn't even close.
Now they got rid of everybody.
Shout out to Doug Peterson. Former quarterback for Philly, who's coming back home to his roots after ironically being with Andy Reid in Kansas City. So now he's back doing his thing. They, I guess, got the quarterback situation a little taken care of with their little standoff with Sam Bradford earlier in the offseason. But they got that done. You got Carson Wentz, number 2 pick, but he got hurt. So
yeah, hairline fracture in his ribs.
Oof.
Saying he should be back, at least what I saw before in the preseason. So that shouldn't be bad.
I heard he may miss the preseason though. And if he does, it's not going to help his improvement and help his advancement at the quarterback position. All that's going to do is just set him back.
Yeah, all I'm saying is Sam Bradford, you better take advantage. Yep.
That's all I'm saying.
Don't say nothing, but you was talking, you was mad about it. Now it's time to go out and prove it.
Yeah. And another dude who really needs to take advantage, and it almost seems like he going, it's another one, it's like when he get hurt, is Ryan Matthews.
Oh, Lord, yes.
I'm like, he is the guy at running back now. I know they still got Darren Sproles, but Ryan Matthews, this is your opportunity to be the guy. You weren't the guy since San Diego. This is your chance to shine. Please stay healthy.
Yeah, I hope so, man. Like, really, just, I hate seeing guys hurt all the time. Like, just give him one season or two. That like, way, if he's fully healthy and he's not good, then you can be like, oh, okay, it's not the injuries. He's just not good.
Yeah. But, I mean, Ryan Matthews, you've seen when, like, when healthy, he's good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just hope he can stay healthy.
And they got other Matthews, Jordan Matthews back. And then I saw today they traded for Titans wide receiver Dorian Green Beckham. Trying to add some depth. Like, okay. Had to give up lineman Dennis Kelly for it.
Yeah, they gave up a backup lineman. I mean, it's a, I guess you want to call it a low risk, high reward type move for them. I mean, he's still on a rookie contract. The fact that he was traded from Tennessee after being a second round pick last year is a little, it does raise an eyebrow a little bit.
Right.
As to why they get rid of him so quick. But again, this is a guy that had so many red flags coming out of college, started at Missouri, had a good freshman year, and then got into all kinds of trouble, went to Oklahoma, didn't play the season, and then went into the draft. So, I mean, the kid's got a lot of potential, a lot of talent, but based on his track record, based on the history we've seen with guys like this, I wouldn't bank on him evolving into anything.
Yeah, special. And then they dealing with their own PED thing with right tackle Lane Johnson.
Oof. I think he was just suspended like last year.
Yeah, he's facing a 10-game suspension for PEDs. It's like, yeah, he was given $35 million contract last season. Yeah, he was suspended 4 games back in 2014.
Like, and that was Chip Kelly's first pick ever. Like, Chip Kelly's still lingering over that damn city.
Oh, you know he is.
Yep.
Oh, man. But, yeah, hopefully they can get stuff back on track. Defense, anything particularly –
They're moving back to the 4-3 defense. They got Jim Schwartz as defensive coordinator, which I think is a good move for them. He tends to get really good play out of his defense. I'm looking for Fletcher Cox to have a really big year after signing that contract extension.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Philly, man. There's still questions. I have had questions for Philly's defensive backfield since the years of Brian Dawkins and Bobby Taylor and Troy Vincent. I mean, ever since them dudes was gone, it just seems like their defensive backfield has just been average.
Yeah. Can't get the stops.
They just can't. They used to have such a dominant force back in like the early 90s, but God, it seems like it's been years since they've had a good defensive backfield. So that's still a question mark for me. I mean, I like Malcolm Jenkins. But all in all, it's still a question mark for me. I think Philly's going to – I mean, it's his first year under Doug Peterson. I could see them not having the best year.
Yeah. Yeah. For schedule, you start off versus Cleveland.
Get you that. That's good.
Yeah. Chicago played Pittsburgh week 3. Mm. Early bye week 4.
Oof.
And rather that, at Detroit, at Washington – versus Minnesota, at Dallas, at New York, Atlanta. Then you got Seattle and Green Bay back-to-back.
Oof.
And then Cincinnati after that. Oof.
Oof.
And then you get into Washington, Baltimore, finish up at Dallas week 17, or at home versus Dallas week 17. Yeah, they have week 11 through 13. Ain't that fun. Outside of that,
it's not horrible.
It's doable. No, it's not. It's
first year head coach Doug Peterson, you know, new offense. And I mean, you know, as bad as the NFC East does play year to year, it seems, they're competitive within their division, it seems.
Yeah, they are. This, yeah,
they don't division, like losing to each other.
Nah, they don't. They take it personally. These teams do not like each other, which – I always love that about this division. There's so much hate going around.
Yeah, for real.
And then the team who was trying to repeat as division champs, these Washington Redskins. Name ain't changing for a long time, apparently.
Oh, fuck Dan Snyder.
yeah, I mean, Now we get a first season without RG3 anywhere in the building. He's over in Cleveland, so Kirk Cousins is your spot. You know,
I mean, this is his time to shine. He's playing on the franchise tag, so this is it, man. If he balls out this year, he getting paid going into next season. Because somebody's going to pay him.
Oh, yeah, somebody's going to pay him. You know, with them weapons, Sean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, Jordan Reed, if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, they got the kid, Josh Doctson, they drafted in the first round this year. Mm. So we'll see, man. And, I mean, he's hurt right now, but he should be back for the season to start. Big question is going to be Matt Jones, man. Matt Jones is supposed to be that three-down back for them, that guy who can tote the rock. I mean, he's got to get his fumbling issues under control. But he could possibly be that guy.
No, he could. He could.
That's why they got rid of Alfred Morris.
Yep. You're like, all right, he'll let him go.
Yep.
And, of course, their big splash was getting Josh Norman. Big money.
Big money, but big expectations as well. And it doesn't help that this dude's doing the Fox pregames or whatever before, I don't know, before they play. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. And he was kind of like, well, I wasn't going to tell him. I was just going to surprise him. Like, what? 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 Like,
and this is one of them things. I personally think he's starting to get a little, his head's starting to get a little bigger than it should. All things considered, because, you know, before last year, wasn't nobody talking about Josh Norman as a top 15 cornerback. So, I mean, I'm just being real. So
No, I'm really was saying nothing. And then they had a good season.
He had a really good year last year, but again, he's got to prove he's not a product of the system, that he's just that good. So we'll see.
Yeah, because I don't know about Redskins are always iffy.
Yep, because it's like you mentioned on the last episode, they seem to make these huge splashes, and they just never pan out. For whatever reason, they just never pan out.
No, it's never like a move where it's like, okay, this dude ends up like, it reverberates on the team. Now, this dude makes his whole side of the offense or defense better. He's just like, he's just a great player in his own right, and he's underachieving. Maybe so. We'll see.
See.
All right, Big B, your squad opens up at Pittsburgh versus Pittsburgh. Okay.
All right.
Then versus Dallas at the Giants, versus Cleveland at Baltimore, versus Philly at Detroit at Cincinnati. And they got a bye week 9. Come out versus Minnesota, Green Bay week 11, at Arizona week 13, versus Carolina week 15.
Josh Norman coming back, huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that? Oh, Monday night. Okay, I see you. And then they end at Chicago week 16 and versus the Giants week 17. So, once again, not bad. You know, just a little window of trouble coming out to bye, but this is doable.
It is very doable.
All right, so I'm looking at this. I like... because all these teams are saying, fucking coin flip.
Yep.
Shit, I'm like, I'm undecided. But, you know what? I'll say, I think Dallas has a bounce back year. They're 9 months. I think they can get to, I think 10 or 11 wins can win this division. I think it's going to be real tight, though. But I can see them leading. Giants and Redskins might battle out for second. Because although I like New York, I think they'll have a bounce-back season. I'm not ready to drop the Redskins down a lot. If that, I think it could be a three-team race. I think Dallas will hold on. I could see Redskins and Giants fighting for second, possibly a wild card spot. Eagles, I think it's just going. It's a transition year. For them, yeah. I don't know. They got nothing on their offense. Just screams exciting. You can blame Chip Kelly for getting rid of every damn body that brings excitement.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just think they're going to take a few steps back. 7-9, and it might take a minute. So yeah, that's looking at it, that's where I'm leaning to this season.
Mm. Well, the Dallas fans are gonna hate me. So I got the Giants winning this division. I think they're gonna bounce back this year. I think the addition of Sterling Shepard will help them out. The continuity with Ben McAdoo. I just think a fresh new voice in the locker room will do some good for that team. You know, they've been with Tom Coughlin for such a long time. I just think just the change will be good for them, get them a little bit more pumped, a little bit more hyped.
Mm-hmm.
I got Washington finishing second.
Mm.
I like what Kirk Cousins brings. He's very accurate. Something that a lot of people don't really talk about when they talk about, you know, Kirk Cousins, but he is very, very accurate with the ball. They don't ask him to do too much. And I'll give it up to Jay Gruden. He's done a good job, you know, with Kirk Cousins, you know, coaching him up and everything. I think the offense can be potentially explosive with Pierre Garçon, you know, DeSean Jackson and Josh Doctson. You got three dudes who can really stretch the field. Jordan Reed, if he can stay healthy, is going to be a beast again, as usual, at the tight end position. I mean, the question is going to be their defense. I think they'll be just good enough to hold on to second place. I think Dallas will be third. I just see some type of injury screwing up Dallas this season. I just do. Whether it's Tony Romo getting hurt or, you know, Dez Bryant getting hurt or, you know, somebody on their offensive line. Somebody, I just have a feeling some injury is going to happen that's going to hinder them from really capitalizing on their season. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, I got Philly. I just think it's a rebuilding year for them. New coach, Doug Peterson. You know, the cupboard's a little bare talent-wise with Philly. I mean, Chip Kelly got rid of a lot of their A-talent players. So they're still trying to rebuild and regroup some of these young players and build them up and coach them up. So I think it's going to take a few years. I think they're headed back in the right direction. I like the addition of Doug Peterson as coach. But again, it's going to take a couple years. So that is what I got.
All right. So yeah, folks, that is our East previews, AFC, NFC East.
You know, yes.
Got more coming for you in the coming weeks. Trying to get y'all ready for this NFL season.
Yes, sir.
All right, y'all. We're going to take a quick break. We are coming back. We're going to start hitting some news topics all around the sports world. Of course, the Olympics. And then we're going to get into our segments. Y'all, yes, sir. Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
Holla!
Sure to check us out on blackisonline.com.
Welcome back to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
Yes, sir.
So if you want to talk football with us, you want to let us know your predictions for the AFC East, NFC East, you know, defend your team, crap on another per team. We know how it. I know our man Kmart ain't going to be too happy with our prediction for his mighty Eagles.
If he's realistic, he understands.
Yeah, he will. And then Baylor going to come and say something.
Of course.
But if y'all want to get at us, you want to talk with us, you can reach out to us on Twitter, at Brothers Layman. Voicemails 323-455-4219. Email thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. You can get us up on the website, blackisonline.com.
Yeah, just let us know how you feel. If you are upset, if you feel your team's going to do better, you know, let us know. Let us know what's going on in your mind.
Holla!
That's what's up. All right, still sticking to, with the NFL. Okay. Forgot to bring it up with him, but Tyrod Taylor did get a 6-year, $90 million extension, as you mentioned. Said it all ain't guaranteed.
No, it's not. He has like a, it's like this year. Next year's an option.
That's why you That's love like, reading. You can't read.
It was like he signed a 6-year, $96 million. I'm like, okay. That's why I was like, what's the guarantees?
Right. As soon as they signed, they were like, what about Dude Pitt? What's his name from Ohio State? I'm like, what? A rookie?
Ooh.
It was a Cardale Jones.
Oh, Cardale, yeah. That was my thought. I was like, when they signed him to the extension, I was kind of like, what does that say about Cardale Jones? But then I saw the damn contract, and I was like, oh, well, it's a 1-year deal.
Yeah. You got to be real good to get locked. I mean, people don't like being without quarterbacks.
Yeah.
It's tough. Other news, the league is looking to suspend James Harrison, Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers, and Mike Neal if they do not cooperate with the interview and the PED probe by August 25th. And this is at an Al Jazeera America report saying that these Duke two PEDs, including Peyton Manning,
who was cleared.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay.
Let me make sure I put that out there. Was cleared.
Yeah.
He did his interview.
Yo, you know he was.
This shit out of here.
James Harrison, I said he's gonna speak to the Players Association about talking. He's just like, fine, why don't you bring Roger Goodell to my house? Let's talk.
Well, I guess the Players Association is saying basically like the dude who came out with the report and everything, he recanted. So it's like, well, what's the fucking point?
Right. He just wants the interview anyway. Like,
but I mean, I can understand the NFL wanting to at least interview them, all things considered.
Yeah, but it's like, you don't really like suspend them if they don't I get Harrison's point because he's like, so what? If somebody just says something about me, I'm in trouble. So what did he say? He was like, oh, he's a pedophile. Oh, so, and that's it. You just going to take their word for it. Like, all right. Like, F y'all. James Harrison, like, I'm tired of this dude.
They done with Roger Goodell, man.
I mean, the players feel like they don't like the commissioners frustrating. They get frustrated with their players association. It's like, jeez.
Yeah. They get no love.
Mm-hmm. And then injury, I saw Saints rookie defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins carted off the practice field, and he had a broken fibula.
Like, shout out to 35th Kentucky. He's a Louisville guy and was supposed to come in, make a big-time impact, but, yeah, broken fibula. That sucks.
Yeah, you hate seeing that. You're like, come on, man. You don't need all that.
Just for a defense, that boo-boo.
Yeah, that was not needed.
Not at all.
All right. Moving on, gotta get his man. Hold on, he does deserve his own intro. This money.
Do you know what Chuck Berry said every night before counting 1, 2, 3, 4?
What did he say?
Pay me my money.
Give it up, man, Gilbert. LeBron James signs a 3-year, $100 million deal with the Cavs. Will be the highest paid player next season at $31 million.
Did you peep the contract? Dude, you are so right about there being a lockout next year.
Did you
notice it was 2 years with the player option on the third?
Yep.
He got 2 guaranteed years though.
Telling you, and you saw everybody. Oh, he signed long term. Like, wait a minute. So he signed 1 extra year. Then he been signing. Y'all sound like he signed for 5.
Yeah, I gotta give it to you, man. You have been calling it. You have been saying it. There's gonna be a fucking lockout next
folks
season.
Folks is getting their money now. extend me.
I'm telling you. But no, shout out to LeBron because he's now what? He's the highest paid player in the league, right?
He will be next season.
As he should. I think this is the first time he is, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous, but it's well earned, well deserved. Kudos to LeBron. I know I talk a lot of shit about LeBron, but I don't hate LeBron James. He was just a thorn in my hip because my team's in the same division as his.
Right.
But I, you know, I like LeBron's game. I respect LeBron. I mean, the man's the best player in the league. Said it last year, even when everybody was praising and riding Steph Curry's nuts. We still said LeBron is the best player in the league. He proved it in the finals, you know, and he earned that $100 million contract. So good for him.
Yeah, and I'm sure he'll, you know, once he sees how much money he can get after the lockout, like, oh, I'm opting out.
Yep. Re-sign me.
Yeah, this nigga's five more years. This shit, he got a 3-year. Oh, he signed long term. Like,
as soon as I saw it was 3 years, and I was like, the second year's a player option. The first thing I thought of, I was like, damn, Chris called it.
That's the way he was like, he's gonna do a 1-1 again. Nope.
Yep.
I'm here. I'm like, nigga, you just signed for 2 years, dude. Really?
Sure, I'll get my money.
Yeah, he can't. But like, I'm committed. Like, you signed 2 years. Lord have mercy. I'm like, stop, please. You sign a 4-year deal where it ain't no opt out, then I'd be like, oh, he going to be here a while. Like, nigga, please. And of course, he already got his GM hat on. J.R. Smith, let's go. Like, oh, word.
J.R. Smith won like 15 mil.
Make it happen.
Hey, I was talking to, forget the dude's name from NBA Insiders on Twitter, but I'm like, how much damn money is Dan Gilbert supposed to be paying in luxury taxes? Like, I know he want to win, but at some point, I'm like, dude, my pockets is dry.
Yeah, you know LeBron going to be like, you better pay him next season. At least give him 15
At least give him
mil.
2 years. Yeah. At least give him while I'm here.
Give him 2-year team option. First year going to be like $20 million. He earned it.
No. I'm like, dude, J.R. Smith, oh, my God, like, have we not learned?
Well, you know, he going to stick up for his boy.
It's my team.
Get it.
It's my quarterback.
I get it, but I'm like, J.R. Smith has been a head case everywhere he's been in the league. Is giving him $15 million a year really – that's why I am not shocked he ain't signed yet. If I'm Dan Gilbert, nigga, I am not.
Oh, because I knew, you know. Oh, you know he talked to LeBron. I was like, I want to come back. LeBron like, I got you. Don't trip. Because I'm surprised, like, he ain't signed nowhere. Like, mm-hmm. Wow. And he had a solid playoff.
Because he's a head case and nobody wants to deal with him. No, nobody's paying him double digit money, millions.
Nope. He opts out every year. Like, I'm about to get big money. And they'd be like, he resigns no, for $2 million. Because he tried that. Didn't he try that last summer?
Yes. When he was supposed to make, like, I think he opted out of, like,
you have to, like, a
want
six.
To say, like a $6 or $7 million. I forget.
Yeah, and he got like four.
Yeah. Damn. Dude, you're a head case. Once you've gotten that reputation, nobody wants to pay you long term like that, especially a lot of money. I'm mm-hmm. like, dude, freaking look at Deion Waiters, as young as he is. He had a sign for 2 years, six.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, dude.
And he even talking trash. I may have to find that. I think that he might have to give me an award for that one if I can find his quote.
Deion Waiters?
His quote.
Gosh.
If that was his quote, cause, you know, I don't know if somebody just wrote that in there, but that was hilarious. Okay. Carmelo Anthony came out and said that, you know, if his career ends, you know, when he has 3 gold medals but doesn't really have the NBA success that he wants, he'll be okay with it. And I was like, okay, well, that's – I get it.
I mean, this is what I have been saying about, you know, not necessarily winning a championship, but you're still considered, you know, a great player. I mean, I think personally, I think Carmelo Anthony has been a little overrated for some time. As good as he is offensively, he is a liability on defense. And I mean,
he's not the best all around superstar.
He's not. He's a great offensive player.
Mm-hmm. Solid rebounder.
He's, you know, but is what we call Carmelo elite? I mean, I wouldn't really call him elite.
No, he's definitely elite scorer. For sure.
I think he's an elite scorer.
But like, and would I call him elite
player? Yeah. No.
He needs more. He's got to have more playoff success.
Yeah.
And I saw, I didn't see the initial rant, but I saw Stephen A. Like, I got to apologize.
Well, I guess I saw the thing today, and I guess he said he talked to Carmelo, and Carmelo was like, the article was taken out of context, and he basically was like, because I guess the article made it sound like he was like, he don't care if you don't win a chip or not.
And I was like, that's bull.
And Carmelo was like, he said, like, you know, of course, the goal is to win titles.
Right.
And he was just like, for whatever reason, I don't happen to win any in my career ends, you know, based on what I've done throughout my career, I will be satisfied.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a solid season. Yeah, and he got a chance to win 3 gold medals as in basketball, which nobody's done before. I mean,
yeah, but you know, made it seem like the winning the medals was more important than winning a chip, which I'm like, no.
Like, you asking him when he's talking about while he's in the Olympics.
Yeah,
like, come on, stop. Y'all leave him alone. Man, some frustrating MLB news. Prince Fielder was forced to retire after having his second neck surgery.
Yeah.
And apparently doctors was like, will not clear him.
I thought that was a little odd, because I'm like, damn, Peyton Manning had 4 neck surgeries.
Yeah, but I guess the way the vertebrae is and
the
rest, they just like, nope, we ain't clearing you, which was sad. Prince Fielder was whopping, baby.
Ironically, they said he ended up with as many home runs as his daddy.
Yeah, that's a trip.
Like 319 or something like that.
Damn. I remember when he signed that big money contract with the Tigers. Like,
Tigers, whoa. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I remember his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Fielder, he was
crazy.
Big as hell, too.
Mm-hmm. Smacking everything. Everything.
Yep.
Since we're talking about Rio, I mean, I'll admit, man, the American teams have been killing.
They've been murdering. But, I mean, look, this is like I kind of said earlier. I was talking to someone earlier today about the Olympics, and it's just like I told them, I don't know what it is about this year with the Olympics, but I'm not into it like I have been in years past. And I think part of it is the coverage because of the delay. Everything's freaking posted online before the events even happen. So the excitement is taken away from the events. Just like a couple of days ago, I was watching it with Lucy, with my wife, and then we were watching the 100 meters with Usain Bolt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at Twitter, I'm like, well, I already know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is bullshit. Like, didn't the Olympics used to be live?
Yeah, I feel like normally it has been. That's why it trips me out with NBC. Because, I mean, look, you get the stuff on your phone.
I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, I did that too when it was like, Michael Phelps. One, I was like, oh, okay. And then I turn it on, and then I get home, and I'm like, wait a minute. Didn't it just happen already?
Yeah, I'm confused. Like, I'm like,
like, dude, if it's on, people will stay up to watch.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, if it happens to be on at 1 o'clock in the morning Pacific time and I want to see that match, I'm going to wake up and watch.
I mean, it happens once every 4 years. People will make sacrifices.
News. Like, you want to do that show, just be about it all the time, all day. Because everything happens, like, I guess, during work.
Yeah.
You ain't see nothing. But, I mean, Michael Phelps ended his career with, like, some stupid, ridiculous, like 23 gold medals or something
like that.
He killed, I think, what does I have on here? The U.S. swimming team, men and women, totaled 33 medals, 16 gold. Like, damn.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. And shout out to Simone Manuel, first black to receive gold in an individual swimming contest. She tied for first in the 100 meter freestyle, and they broke a record. I was like, records is getting broken all day.
Hey, shout out to her. You know, I enjoy swimming just because not to pat myself on the back, but Chris and I are some excellent swimmers. So I enjoy seeing these people swim. And, you know, shout out to that young lady becoming the first African-American to win a gold. You know, just making me proud, man. Just making me proud.
Yeah, man, they've been doing it. I'd like to see, because they always talk about black folk and swimming. I love swimming.
And shout out to my girl Simone Biles.
Man,
what?
Yeah, she ended it with she won today. So now she's ending her.
She Olympics got four golds.
Yeah, four golds and a bronze.
Y'all can kick rocks. That little girl, and I mean little, because she is like 4 foot nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Man, she can get up.
Talk about crowning. They were just like, oh, she the best gymnast, period, ever. Like, damn, like, she ain't even finished the Olympics yet. Like, it don't matter. She the best.
It doesn't matter. I mean, and looking at just her size and just some of the moves she's able to do, it's almost eerily similar to like Michael Phelps. How like his body was built for swimming. It's like her body was built for gymnastics.
Yeah, she gets up.
She can get up. Her weight or her height makes it perfect for her to be able to do a lot of the stunts and stuff she wants to do. So, I mean, shout out to that young lady.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, those women gymnastics team.
Shout out to the whole gymnastics team.
Yeah, they been getting it in. NBA, the basketball team, man, they've been getting pushed, which I like.
Oh, did you hear your boy?
Who was that?
Charles Barkley.
Oh, no, what did he say?
He don't like the U.S. team.
Why? Because
they don't like how they're playing. They got too many ISO guys. They got too many ball-dominant dudes on the team. I'm like, wasn't that the dream team? Weren't y'all full of ball-dominant dudes? I'm like, y'all had two point guards. Or three.
Well, that's because they actually had two pass-first point guards, which I'm like, okay, Barkley, can you name me?
Magic and John Stockton.
Yeah, but I'm like, give me a whole list of pass-first point guards in the league today. Go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Chris Paul, 2-0.
John Rondo.
Right.
Chris Paul.
That's right. Chris Paul, 2-0. John Paul. Yeah, Chris Paul, 2-0. Rondo ain't making it. He got two. His attitude don't make it where he gonna make it. Like, come on, man. Like, nobody said this is compared to every other damn dream team or Olympic team. Like, every 2 to 3 years, it's adjustments.
What's with the dream team? Y'all had the best of the best. This team is probably like the second or third tier team they sent out.
Well, the thing is, you asking when they came back in what, Beijing in 08? It's when they had
Redeem team?
Yeah, when they had LeBron, Kobe, Melo, Wade, you know, Paul, all of them. That was a great team. But you can't
be
like,
all the best of the best.
Right, but you can't be like, LeBron, play again. He'd be like, nigga, I done played. I've been in the finals 6 straight years. Can I rest? He don't need to play. I've heard somewhere where somebody was like, they don't want anybody playing for the U.S. team that's over 24.
Well, I mean, plus I'm like, it's not like the U.S. ain't got enough to win. Motherfuckers is acting like just because they ain't blowing out every team, you know, they can't win the gold. I'm like, well, the other thing is, there's a lot of Europeans now have caught up with the NBA. I mean, the NBA's got a lot of European players. You know what I mean? Look at France. You got Tony Parker. You got Boris Diaw. You got Nicolas Batum.
Yeah, I mean this. Yeah, they said France pushed them and Parker was hurt.
Spain, you got Nikola Mirotic, you got Pau Gasol. I mean, you have NBA players basically. Look at Australia. You got Bogut, you got Dellavedova, you got Aaron Baines. I mean, you got Patty Mills. You got a shitload of NBA players who are playing now on these international teams. So, yes, the competition's harder.
Yeah, and they've been getting pushed. I mean, these teams are good. And your best is not always going to play.
I'm like, are they quote unquote better than the U.S. team? No, they're not. I'm like, if both teams are on their A game that day, U.S. is beating everybody most of the time.
Right.
99% of the time.
But it's hard when, you know, you getting every team's best shot every single game.
And international competition is different than NBA.
Yeah, it is.
It's not the same thing.
And these guys, they played it for so long, they know how to play it. And they're coming out, and I think they're playing Argentina.
A lot of these dudes have been playing for years together, whereas the NBA, they just throw these guys together.
Yep, they play in Argentina on Wednesday in the quarterfinals.
I know with my former boy, Andres Nocioni, he been balling.
I see here the Americans, Kerry Walsh Jennings and April Ross from the beach volleyball, they lost to Brazil in the semifinals, so broke up their chance for a three-time gold.
I mean, shout out to them anyway. I mean, for me, I'm just like all these people representing the U.S. Excuse me, representing all these countries.
Yeah, I like seeing
they, as
all
bad
that,
as they do, or as the, some of them who may not do well, they still better than everybody.
Yeah, I seen. I mean, I'm looking at now that like what Sweden they beat the women's soccer team. I got more on that in the awards. Shout out to Hope Solo and her comments. They just beat Brazil, the women, so it looks like they're moving on to the finals.
Hey, shout out to Sweden. I like seeing the underdogs win.
Yeah. And then, of course, your boy, Usain Bolt.
I caught Usain that. Is insane. He
man.
Just well, thanks, Twitter, because I saw it all over there.
Yeah, it was like, okay.
But that I did watch it when they did show it again, and it was still just because he started off slow, and you're like, is he really about to lose?
Justin Gatlin got that hand. You were just like, nah. All of a sudden, he just kicked it in. That second 50 is his.
Yeah, that second gear he kicks in is it's unfreaking real.
Damn. And you can tell he loves it.
I mean, he's a free spirited guy. Exactly. He has fun, man.
Mm hmm.
That's what it's about. It's about enjoying the moment, enjoying it. You know, you want it to, of course, take it seriously. You want to win. But it's also about enjoying the moment. You know, I mean, the Olympics only comes once every 4 years. You work hard at this. And, you know, you are the best of the best in whatever sport that you're involved in. You are considered the top 1% of that group that can do it. So, I mean, to me, there's no shame in whatever place you come in, because – you better than damn near everybody in every country at what you just did.
Yeah, man, you got people from age 14 to like almost 40 in these sports.
And it's crazy just how many freaking sports there are.
So many. Watching as many as I can, because you're just like, I don't even know what the rules of this thing is.
Yeah, like coming back from Detroit, I was reading my Sports Illustrated, and they just went through all the Olympic, like all the people who were going in the Olympics, and I'm like, damn, there are like 100-some sports.
Yeah, and they don't show all of them.
They don't.
Because I'm like, the first one, it was like, oh, so-and-so won the shooting award. I'm like, when was that?
Yeah, the air gun. Yeah, the air pistol, I think. Air rifle.
Right. I ain't see no archery whatsoever.
I think for the U.S. there was I think that they have like Paralympics too.
Yeah. That's what I wish now that they got, you know, where the NBC got like 8 damn channels and all. And I'm like, man, someplace show all the damn, man. I want to see all of it. And I don't need to just see the U.S.
Show some weightlifting.
Yeah. Show some rowing, all of that. Like, let me see.
Show the sailing.
Mm-hmm.
All stuff. Yeah. All of it. I agree. They should show all of it. Yeah. Show the archery, all that stuff.
It just, I get the popular ones, but let's see what else is going on.
Hey, but shout out to all the participants. And that's the cool thing about the Olympics is that I think it gives just kids out there an opportunity to see that their sports isn't just limited to the major sports, the football, basketball, baseball, hockey, stuff like that. I mean, you have a wide range of sports that you can play and get notoriety and recognition for being very good in. So, you know, shout.
And it's always an opportunity because some people, you know, people shock the world. Some people who are stars and they just keep dominating. Others, they pull it off and they just pull something out of the butt.
You don't hear about a lot of these people sometimes until, like, the Olympics start coming. Like, wasn't nobody talking about Simone Biles? Like a year ago.
Yeah, we don't be knowing who that is. All of a sudden, when it's like, oh, they're getting ready for the Olympics. Who is this chick?
She the best ever. I'm like, God, who?
Yeah, and then you see it like, oh, okay. Wheaties box commercials.
Oh, making that money. Mm-hmm. Shout out to them.
Your life ain't never going to be the same now. You can't go and then, nowhere.
And of course, with the good things, with the Olympics comes some of the bad things. Hey, shame on all of you out there who were getting on Gabby Douglas. F y'all.
Man.
F y'all. I'm sorry. F y'all.
I couldn't stand that. She just.
She ain't patriotic. What, nigga, are you serious?
It was I seen somebody on Twitter put a picture right after that. Next to that was a picture of Donald Trump. I think after,
I've seen that.
Yeah, after one of his the primary debates when he's debating to try to get the nomination, and he's standing there. He's the only one who ain't got his hand over his heart.
And I mean, I've never been one that you necessarily. I've never been under the impression that a hand over the heart is required.
No.
I've seen some people who have their hands behind their backs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just that there are different ways to show you respect. Yeah. Some people bow their heads down, mm-hmm. whatever the case is. But there's no requirement that says when it's playing, you have to put your hand over your heart and all that. Like, what?
Yeah, it's all smile for the camera. Huh? She don't look happy. She not going like, look, happy it's a competition, fool. It's like, we a team, and the team sport, they won. The team sport, they kicked everybody ass.
Yes.
But then when it comes to individuals, like, oh, I'm messed up. Let me act like I'm happy. Like, motherfucker, I'm struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm mad. Like, look, it's a sport, and I'm competing. And I'm mad right now.
Yeah.
So I can't look at the camera and be mad. I got to be like, oh, everything's fine.
I mean, it's like, and good for Simone Biles, and she was winning and doing a good job, and she was smiling all the time, but, I wasn't doing as well as she was. I wasn't dominating like I,
she was supportive of the team, but it's just like, they all got each other back, but they all competing for the same time, and look, it's just, God, I mean, damn, you got the camera in your face.
Anybody who's played competitive sports understands what Gabby Douglas was going through.
Right. It's just not okay in gymnastics, apparently.
F that, man. You can be frustrated in any sport if you ain't playing up to your capabilities.
Yeah. Well, I got more on. I'm going to say my rest for my what the fuck moments. But let's get into this 5 minutes with Grandpa. What Grandpa got to say to us today.
So just real quick, for those of you who listened to the last episode and thought of the Jonathan Lehman grandpa strategy for drafting doesn't work. I proved it works. I used my own strategy and did a mock draft, 12 team, and I got an A+. I'm just saying. If you don't believe me, folks, I'm telling you now, I'm ready to roll, take my advice, heed it, and you will get you a good draft. I mean, look at this draft I had. I had Todd Gurley first. I had Brandon Marshall second. I got LeSean McCoy, Jordan Reed, Jeremy Maclin, Jonathan Stewart, Alan Hearns. These are all picks in a row now. So I took nothing but running backs and receivers like my first 7 picks. Then I got Carolina's defense. Then, as I said, you ain't got to take a quarterback early. I took Tom Brady in the 9th round.
Mm.
Then I got Sterling Shepard. I drafted Tyler Eifert. I drafted Travis Benjamin. Then I drafted Matt Stafford just because I need a quarterback for the first 4 games. Then at the end, you take your flyer. I drafted Tevin Coleman. Everybody's been talking him up about a timeshare with him and Devontae Freeman. And then last but not least, I took Broncos kicker Brandon McManus because that altitude in Mile High helps you kick 60-yard field goals, and that is extra points, baby. I mean, I'm just saying. So, again, for those of y'all who didn't believe me, the proof is in the pudding. I tested the theories myself, and it works. So I'm letting y'all know. This was 12-team, too. So for those of y'all who got a 10-team draft, maybe even 8 teams, y'all can do way better than I did in the draft. But just follow what I told you advice-wise. You'll get a good draft, folks. Guaranteed. That's all I got.
Mm. There you go.
Ellen.
I have another question. I don't know if I didn't ask this. I wrote it on here and totally missed it for the Olympics. So this was brought up around the, with the swimming and all. I've seen somebody else about the whole doping allegations. If you have tested positive for a banned substance, should you be allowed to compete in the Olympics?
I personally don't think so. Just because that's cheating. I mean, you're if you've been busted, that means you have the intent on cheating to gain an upper hand. So yes, you should be banned. You should not be allowed to compete because you're not on an even playing field with everybody. It's not fair.
So if you cheat and you get and you do your you take the punishment, basically you just if you get caught once, you banned from the Olympics.
No, I don't think you should be banned for life, but I guess for that specific, like, let's say, for instance, I guess, you know.
Yeah, what's his name? Justin Gatlin, who lost to Usain Bolt.
So let's say he was caught doping last year. He should not, then if he was caught in 2015, he should not be allowed to participate in the 2016 Olympics. However, he should be allowed to participate in the 2020 Olympics he should be allowed to participate in the Olympics.
Oh, like for the tryouts to make it to
yeah,
the
Olympics. I mean, barring that he passes his necessary drug test again and is not found doping.
Okay.
I mean, if you're busted, you know, within that 4-year window, you should not be allowed to participate in the most upcoming event of the Olympics.
Oh, so if he got busted in like 2014,
then he shouldn't be allowed to participate in 2016 Olympics.
Okay.
But you can go to 2020 as long as you come up clean.
Okay. No, I was in it because I saw that and I was like,
I think there should be some kind of punishment because it's once every 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, if you get busted, I mean, it's like, all right, you tested positive, and it could be accidental or whatever, and then you're like, all right, well, you banned from, you know, competition for 2 years or so. I'm like, all right, I'm banned, and okay, now I'm back, I'm ready, I'm clean, I'm not going to do it no more, and I'm ready to compete to try to make the Olympics. And it's like, oh, well, you cheated, so you can't. You're like, well, nigga, I served my time. It's iffy, and I know with the whole thing that was going on with Russia, and I mean, you've had it. There are a lot of Olympians out there, they just don't like it, period.
Sound like you're cheating.
Yeah, because some sound like if you've been tested, if you've been busted, then you shouldn't be able to compete at all. And they make
because
sound
I think
like
their mindset is. Well, because I think their mindset is you're going to try to find another way to cheat that may not get caught the next time.
Right. Or if you
win, that may not be traced.
Now you've got a cloud of, doubt. Did he do? Did he cheat though?
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. That's why I'm just like, you should ban him for that one specific, you know, whatever the most recent Olympic Games is. And then, you know, let them compete in the following.
Yeah, you know, I feel you. That's a tough one. But I think it's always going to be an issue. Mm-hmm. Olympics are that thing, and folk try ways to get around and be the best.
Because get a lot of notoriety, you win the Olympics.
You get your notoriety, get you some endorsement money, a lot of stuff.
Things can happen, absolutely.
Yeah. So what's going to happen right now is we're going to pass out some awards.
For sure.
We're talking all this good stuff from the Olympics. Let's hit them up with the Norse Award.
Norse.
All right, I have just one. I think all my damn awards are Olympic related. Shout out to 22-year-old Monica Puig. She beat the number 2 player in the world, Angelique Kerber, in the women's tennis final to win Puerto Rico's first ever medal. She got gold, but she's brought them their first ever medal for the country, Puerto Rico. Shout out to her. I was like, wow.
The first
they
one ever?
They never got a medal in anything? Like, damn. Like, you are you a star.
Yeah, period. And this is what we're talking about. You can make a name for yourself. You know, this young lady is never going to be forgotten. She is going to go down in history, in the history of Puerto Rico, you know, probably one of the best athletes ever.
Yeah, I mean, she's 22, and, you know, Angelique Kerber is the number two ranked woman in tennis, period. I was like, wow. And she wasn't, young girl wasn't ranked at all. Mm. So, I mean, to go all that way up, I mean, shout out to her, man. I was like, that is amazing.
That's an amazing feat. Shout out to you and you know, shout out to her doing something to make her country very proud.
For sure.
That's what's up.
All right. That's what I got.
All right. So mine are quick, fast. First Norse Award is going out to – I'm going to give a Norse Award to Mr. LeBron James.
Mm.
LeBron, you know, for all the hate that LeBron does get, LeBron does do good things for people within his community. We've spoken recently in the past about him giving out 1,000 scholarships to some of these kids to go to the University of Akron. Well, LeBron also this summer he sent 5,000 kids and their families to an amusement park in Ohio, paved the way for everybody. In a sense, just wanted to have one of this community to just have a good time, you know, and just take care of these guys. And that's things like that are things I think that should be applauded. It's not like he went on a rant and, you know, very similar to what Rasheed Wallace was doing for the people in Flint, Michigan, you know, not posting it all over social media saying, hey, look at me, look what I'm doing. You just do it out of the kindness of your heart just because you have the means to do it because it's the right thing to do. You know, shout out to LeBron for doing things like that. It's just little things like that. You know, nobody's saying you have, you know, everybody wants everybody to be a damn activist these days. But just little things like this, you know, paying the way for 5,000 kids and families. You know, to go to an amusement park to just enjoy themselves and have a good day, you know, just having fun together. I mean, those are the type of little things that we need to do more. And I think when LeBron and D-Wade and them made that speech, you know, about helping out more in our communities and doing more for our communities, I think this is some of the stuff they were talking about. It's not necessarily having to just, you know, focus everything on, you know, black this and black that and fixing this and fixing that. But, you know, trying to bring communities together, just doing things, good things for the community, bringing positive atmosphere into different communities, into the world, and, you know, showing that we all can come together as one and lift each other up, you know, things like that. So I was very happy to see that for LeBron. Something I wasn't talked about much, but I think needs to be spoken about.
All right.
And then next Norse Award. Shout out to the city of New York. As this news kind of came and went, the New York governor, Andrew Cuomo, I guess I hope I pronounced it correctly. He signed a bill that allows daily fantasy sports in New York.
Mm.
So we all remember when, the DraftKings and all that was banned in New York City. Well, not anymore. So officially it will be back this year. It is regulated, of course, but nonetheless, it is legal now to play daily fantasy sports again in New York. So, you know, just in the nick of time for the NFL season. So shout out to the city of New York and to the mayor, or excuse me, to the governor.
I'm not looking forward to all them ads.
And and then last but not least, shout out to Adele. I'm not going to play like I am the biggest Adele fan, but I am a fan of hers. I do enjoy her music. I don't have like all of her albums or anything like that, but I do enjoy her music. She has a great voice. But she turned down the Super Bowl for the halftime show this year.
I saw that.
The NFL, from what it sounds like, I know they've recently been making the artists pay, to perform at the Super Bowl. It almost sounds like they were begging for Adele to come perform at their Super Bowl halftime show, which I'm sure she wasn't paying a dime for.
No.
But she said at a concert here in L.A. this past weekend, she said, and I quote, "First of all, I'm not doing the Super Bowl." She said, "Well, come on. I mean, the show's not about music, and I can't dance or anything like that." So they were really kind. They did ask, but I said no. And I just respect Adele for that decision because she seems like the type of person who truly, really is about the music. And lately, the NFL for the halftime shows, it really hasn't been a whole lot about the music specifically. It's more of a show for everybody, you know. You know, even though I did enjoy the Bruno Mars and Beyonce and the Coldplay, you know, show last year, it's not about the music itself. You know, occasionally they'll have some artists, you know, a lot of the older artists. I know a few years ago they had the Who perform at the halftime show. I mean, when you have certain artists like that where we all kind of know it's specifically about the music, it's pretty cool. I respect Adele's decision to turn them down because she seems like she's all about the music and, you know, the NFL ain't about that. So, you know, shout out to her.
That's what's up. No, she did the right thing. I was like, cause people would have been like, Adele? That don't seem like the right venue for her.
Yeah.
So, no, that was a smart decision by her.
Yeah. And that's all I got.
All right. We're into the last segment. Let's get into these.
All right.
What? What the fuck? Slow down. What? What the fuck? No! 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 Fuck that!
All right, what you got?
All right, so I got a few. First and foremost, we got to make sure we share Baylor's what the fuck moment. for New York, Rudy Giuliani, who made one of the stupidest and most ignorant comments I've heard this year. When he bet, I don't have the damn quote in front of me, but I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said there were no successful radical terrorist, Islamic terrorist attacks in America, before Barack Obama got into office, in which I said, nigga, were you not alive when 9/11 happened?
Right, nigga, weren't you the mayor of New York during 9/11? Like, how do you, of all people, you forget that?
Oh my gosh. And then I pulled up an article about Islamic attacks that have happened in America, and they go back all the way to 1972. So there have been quite a few Islamic attacks on the United States. You know, a lot of them didn't necessarily kill like 25, you know, 200 people.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were just like one person, you know, a couple people, you know, one in Oakland back in 74 killed 4 people. You know, one in 1993 in New York killed 6 people. I mean, what is this? Islamic terrorists detonate a massive truck bomb under the World Trade Center, killing 6 people and injuring over 1,000 in an effort to collapse the tower. This was back in 1993. So I'm just like, to sit here and make a stupid-ass comment like that, an ignorant statement like that, it pisses me off, man. Just because I'm like, it seemed like everybody is really... They're just trying to shit on Obama right now.
Yeah, I was trying to get in a new person. So I was like, let's crap on the current president. I mean, we all do. Everybody does that. When Bush was getting out of office, the Democrats were like, Bush ain't shit. Look at all
that. Well, we knew that.
Yeah, but this is just.
Way before that.
Yeah, Rudy Giuliani, he be saying some stuff.
He's an asshole.
We know he ain't for folks of color. He could give two shits.
Exactly. So yeah, there you go. Shout out to Baylor, who sent us his what the fuck. So that's his what the fuck.
Here you go, Baylor.
So why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?
Real.
Go to fuck.
And then for mine, I got a couple. The first one is going to the Chicago Cubs, when this past Sunday, they lost to the St. Louis Cardinals. Aroldis Chapman, their closer, he couldn't close out the inning, and as he was walking off the mound, they played a song called Smack My Bitch Up. Now, for those who don't know, Aroldis Chapman, prior to signing with the Yankees this summer, was involved in a domestic violence dispute. Where apparently he beat the crap out of his girlfriend or wife or whatever the case may be. So playing a song called Smack My Bitch Up when he's walking off the mound is just kind of in bad taste.
Very.
I believe they fired the DJ.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, no, they're going to discipline. Oh, they fired him?
Whoever the person was that put that music on, he got fired.
Oh, there you go. I mean, it's just something you got to think before you just do certain things. I'm like, really? God, just I don't get people sometimes.
One, I was just like, can you actually, I was like, why would you pick a song with curse words in it? For one, that probably gets you fired in general.
Well, I actually went and listened to the song. Mm-hmm. It was done in 2008 from these cats overseas. But it's not really like, it doesn't have a lot of lyrics to it. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is just kind of instrumental.
Okay.
But in the background, you do hear like, smack my bitch up, smack, like tap the thing. And it was kind of like, y'all playing this shit? Really? But yeah, it was just the fact that he was just involved in the domestic violence. So I'm like, God damn, that's just, y'all just didn't think.
Not even and then, at all.
Last but not least, and this, I know yours is about the Olympics. I'm going to end mine with the Olympics too. Freaking Ryan Lott or Locke.
The swimmer.
Yeah. Was robbed at gunpoint early Sunday morning in Rio. And then based off of that, the Australian Olympic Committee banned its athletes from attending the beaches at night in Rio de Janeiro. So, I mean, there's just been a lot going on in Rio. This is why I was just preaching, you know, on the prior episode, just be careful out there. You know, it's just all the conditions going out there and just the poverty, the people who live in poverty who don't have anything. I've seen, you know, videos on YouTube where, you know, kids are basically just walking up to people, like just blatantly just robbing them. Like where they just taking their bags and just like, give me this. And I mean, sometimes they don't get stuff and they'll run away and stuff, but you're just like, these fools are bold. Like they just walk up to you. They walking up to buses and jumping up and trying to snatch stuff from people off the butt. Like these people, I'm like, it is dangerous out there. Mm. So, I mean, just, you know, I know next Olympics is supposed to be in Tokyo, which for all accounts is a safer environment. But just this year's Olympic Games, I just don't know, man. Just all the different circumstances that have gone on with the village and the Olympic Village, and you know, now one of the American players getting robbed at gunpoint. I think two other swimmers were with them. You know, thank God they're still alive. You know, then you got, you know, kids robbing cats, and I think there were two Olympic athletes who were, you know, think charged with trying to rape some of the maids. I mean, there's just so much going on in Rio de Janeiro. So again, I'm just praying that everybody is gets home safely.
Yeah, that's real. I saw that and was like, damn. But I mean, it's like you can't go everywhere. Cause I know once it's out here, you know, I know once they build that soccer stadium where the sports arena is,
yep,
it'll be here in the next to five Olympics. It'll be here.
Like 20 years.
Yep. And I'll be like, yep, don't go down that street.
Yep.
We in the Olympics. I'm like, they don't care. You look like you got some valuables on you.
No, you're not. Exactly. You're in our territory.
Yep, you a target.
You're in our hood. Visitor.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I got. All
right. So yeah, I have a few. The Gabby Douglas one was, yeah, I needed to be said. So Hope Solo, after they lost to Sweden, after Sweden knocked them out in the qualifying round, this is what she had to say after the game. We played a creative game. We had many opportunities on goal. We showed a lot of heart. We came back from down and gone. I'm very proud of this team. We played a bunch of cowards. The best team did not win today. I strongly, firmly believe that. Sweden dropped back. They didn't want to open play. They didn't want to pass the ball around. They didn't want to play great soccer, entertaining soccer. It was a combative game, a physical game, exactly what they wanted, exactly what their game plan was. We had the style of play when Pia was our coach. I think it was very cowardly, but they won. They're moving on, and we're going home. And I was like, oh, word. I was like, oh, she took a lot of heat for that. Because they was like, oh.
As she should have.
Yeah, and they were like, hope. And people are like, why do you keep having this girl on your team? She keep bringing all this drama. I was like, come on, really? That's what you going to say? Oh, yeah, it wasn't an entertaining game. Punkish. Like, nigga, so we supposed to play to your strength and lose.
And didn't she kind of contradicted herself? I'm like, didn't she say that they won playing by their game plan?
Well, it sounded like the Swedish coach was former U.S. national team coach, Pia Sung. Yeah. I was like, and it's like,
and okay, they got physical with y'all, so what?
Right. And it's like, because they were like, you know what? We gonna play a strategy to limit the amount of touches they get and then try to win it that way. And y'all lost in penalty kicks.
Booyah.
And you're like, oh, well, the best team, so? And
the best team doesn't always win.
Yeah, that's like team like, oh, that's that whole, well, you know, they were sending him to the line all the time. And that's not exciting. They didn't really win the right way. I'm like, nigga, I won.
Yeah,
and I didn't cheat.
I mean, most people would say if the best team should have won, Golden State would have won a championship.
Yeah, I mean, dude, if the score is like in the 80s or the damn, like that game, even that game, it was like the Alabama LSU, it was like 9-3. He's like, this shit is boring as hell.
Yep.
So?
Yep. Exactly. We won, didn't we?
Right. Same thing with the whole Hackershack. No, this suck. I was like, yeah, but if it's your team that win, you're gonna be like, I don't care. If it's competition and this playoff atmosphere and win or go home, I'm you know, and you ain't cheat. You ain't cheating. You just like, I'm gonna just not play. Like, I'm here to win. I'm not here to entertain. I'm here to entertain second.
I'm like, this is the Olympics. I'm here to win for my country.
Right. I'm trying to win. So if me playing this ugly brand of bad sport of soccer means that we beat you, then guess what? We playing ugly.
Yep.
And you can and be I guess mad as hell. You can go cry.
Because they beat Brazil.
Yep. Go cry on the couch. And they beat Brazil. So now it's like, shut up.
Yeah, now you really need to shut up. Exactly. I'm sorry. You got to play the vintage bitch.
I'm gonna play her.
I guess that means you need to shut the fuck up. That's what I do. I would shut fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Right, leave it alone. Yeah, I should have said that for this next one. I need to find the comments for these because this is so stupid. But it was a Fox News show called Sports Court, host Tamara Holder, and it was a guest Bo Deal discuss whether or not female athletes should be empowered to wear makeup at the games. I'm like, who the gives a fuck? And he, like, she tried to just say, well, maybe they can get, you know, like, endorsements for wearing makeup and whatnot. He came on with this old raggedy bullshit about why athletes should, and, you know, like, well, I want them to look nice while they winning. Like, oh my God. Like, are you kidding me?
That's not the point.
Right. Like,
so you want chicks to wear makeup while they're competing?
He brought it up about dudes.
Dudes wearing makeup?
And I'm like, what the fuck wrong with you? Like, okay, look, some sport, like, clearly in the gymnastics, they got all the damn girls got makeup drenched on their face. Yeah. But I'm like, nigga, I'm not even looking at that. And for people who are like, oh, well, you know, he's like, well, they should look presentable when they go up to the podium. Like, motherfucker, I'm worried about trying to get to the podium first.
I just got done competing, and you're worried about how I'm looking?
Yeah, it's.
Oh my God!
I was like, oh, this is stupid asses. I should have wrote the quote, and they stupid. And then this last one, this is not Olympic related, but when you mentioned Baylor, I was like, let me bring this up. I recommend everybody read the GQ article in full about Cam Newton. But honestly, he does have to get a what the fuck for particular piece of comments he said. And I was like, what the hell? So yeah, I pulled it up. And the article is basically, in a sense, braces you for that point. Like, look, I didn't talk to him a while. You know, he was feeling some kind of way.
It's the one specific, and I said this.
Yep, Chris, too. There's the one specific comment he made.
Yep, he's like about, he asked your now former teammate Josh Norman, said, last year I'm going to be sites when I say it. It's hate about how people judge them. His response may be somebody else's response, but that's not how I feel. Do you feel like football fans are racist towards you? It's not racism. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Reporter, so if it's not that, what is it? Do you think? I'll let you be the judge. I don't look at it like that. I look at it like some people have certain beliefs, and I have my own belief, and we can agree to disagree on certain things. This is what makes sports so amazing, that we can start a discussion around the table, in the newspaper, in the magazines, that will get people's attention, and that's what sport does. In January, right before the Super Bowl, you said, I am an African-American quarterback that may scare a lot of people because they haven't seen nothing that they can compare to me to. I don't want this to be about race, because it's not. It's not. Like, we're beyond that as a nation. You really think so? Yeah, I mean, you bring it to people's attention, but after that, that's it.
See, and that was the comment, that we're past it as a nation, because we're not. And it's clear as day that we're not. I mean, look at everything that's been going on the past 2 months with the killings and, you know, the police brutality things that have been going on. You're telling me we're past racism as a nation? Get out of here, yeah, dude. Now, I'm sorry. That was the comment that had me like, nigga, please.
Yeah. Now, the writer did write right after that. Like, not saying Cam doesn't mean what he says here. I couldn't begin to know that. But I do know that he and his father, Cecil, have said and indicated otherwise as recently as 4 months ago. In April, after the Super Bowl, Cam gave an interview to Ebony and got to talking about the hoodie he worn during his Super Bowl press conference. He asked them if they would consider taking his photograph wearing a hoodie again. According to the magazine, Newton's father explained to them why. The hoodie can represent a lot of things as it pertains to a young black man. Trayvon Martin, Black Lives Matter, even as athletics can function as a leverage piece for African-American expression, it still points to the inequities that go on. He's kind of just doesn't really bring, you don't want to talk about it. And yet the comment was like, he's in a sense really just brushing it off. He's kind of like, and I know they've gotten, I saw where Aaron Rodgers came out and basically said that the NFL pretty much doesn't really allow you to say what you want to say, or doesn't create an environment for athletes to speak out on certain things.
Listening to the Brothers Lame Sports. Happy hour with my daddy and Uncle Jonathan.
What's your favorite sports team?
Lakers!
We know Jonathan loves that.
So at this point where I'm about to wrap up my rant on Cam Newton situation, Skype wants to just kick us off. So I'll probably finish it up on the next show. But anyway, thank y'all again for tuning in to another episode of the Brothers Lame Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by the Black Is Network. You can find our show on iTunes, on Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, under Black Is, the Black Is Network. Make sure you're checking out the other shows on the network, such as The Break and Turn My Headphones Up. Hopefully I can get that one out to you soon. If you want to get at us directly, chop it up with us on sports, any comments, feedback, you can email us, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com, Twitter, @brotherslayman, the voicemail 323-455-4219. You know, leave us reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. We do read those as well. And you can always get at us at the website, blackisonline.com. Since Johnson's not here, I'll try to do as part of the best I can. Go ahead and tell your loved ones, tell your mamas, daddies, sisters, brothers, cousins, aunties, uncles, nieces, nephews. Tell your dogs, cats, chicken, duck, roosters. Doesn't even come off as good. But this week, tell your fans of the Cowboys, for the Eagles, Redskins, Giants, Patriots, Jets, Dolphins, Bill fan, tell everybody about the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour where it goes down. We have been your hosts, Chris and Jonathan. We give it to you strong and it goes down smooth. Later, y'all.
Why your baby mama throwing up gang signs? A nigga with an attitude and it's plain to see. The little niggas in my hood call me Jeezy E.
cause I'm a motherfucking fool. And I pack a Mac-10 and rock a lot of ice cubes. Got them choppers, nigga, I ain't talking motorbikes. The rocks in my ears shine like headlights. 100 rounds, about the size of darts. Call it big sexy, tear your man apart. We don't recognize real dog, I feel you. But if you put your hands on me, can't you be gon' kill you? The hoes in the projects,
we love you, nigga.
The niggas in your hood,
we love you, nigga.
The niggas in the trap,
we love you, nigga.
They fucking with you like that,
we love you, nigga.
In the projects,
we love you, nigga.
The niggas in your hood,
we love you, nigga.
The niggas in the trap,
we love you, nigga.
They fucking with you like that,
we love you, nigga.
Call me a workaholic cause I work too much. Cause they say I like to talk about the work too much. Let me see, I'm not a plumber, a nigga can't fix cars. I'm an astrologist, I know all the stars. I'm not a politician, a lawyer, a doctor, a barber, a teacher, a rapper, a preacher. And I ain't gonna lie, I had a 9 to 5. My trap open at 9 and it closed at 5. T-R-A-B, nigga. O-R-D-I-E, nigga. You niggas sore losers, I'm a born winner. Fish scale on the stove, just cook dinner.
We love you, nigga.
The niggas in your hood,
we love you, nigga.
The niggas in the trap,
we love you, nigga.
They fucking with you like that,
we get love you, nigga.
The niggas in the projects,
we love you, nigga.
The niggas in your hood,
we love you, nigga.